Christ. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, I'm sure you're there by now. And this week, we are going to learn a little bit more from the life of Peter. Specifically, the lesson theme is a lesson on unbelief. A lesson on unbelief. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly." Greatly. You know, there's a time when we would go to the Lord, but then there's a time when we go to the Lord greatly. So there's emphasis on that word, I believe, in this text. He didn't just go to Christ, he went greatly, fervently. "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Verse 24. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Skip down to verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, notice this, "Be not afraid, only believe." I think those words are timeless, aren't they? You know, all the word is timeless, but I'm thinking right now about December 27th, 2020. That's what we need to hear. "Be not afraid, only believe." That's not my words, that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Be not afraid, Jairus, only believe." "Be not afraid, church, Anchor Baptist, only believe." "Be not afraid, wayward one, weary one, discouraged one, only believe." "Be not afraid, someone who has something in their life that is impossible, only believe." "Be not afraid, only believe." I believe that Jesus knew Jairus' heart, that he had great faith when he came to the Lord Jesus. In verse 23, he said, "She shall live." And I know Jesus heard the words and he knew what the words would do to Jairus, that it may challenge his faith a little bit to hear, "Your daughter is dead. Be not afraid, only believe." "And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James." Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would bless this lesson. Thank you for this event, this story in Peter's life, that we can continue to grow from and be the disciple that you saved us to be. Please take this feeble vessel, empty me of myself, and fill me with your Spirit. May you fill each listener with your Spirit as well. Guide this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. In our first two lessons in the life of Peter, as we've discovered, becoming a disciple and growing in grace, we were at the Sea of Galilee. We were at the Sea of Galilee both times. And now we are journeying away from the Sea of Galilee in Peter's life, and we are on the roads of Capernaum, the roads of Capernaum. But we're still going to learn the same type valuable lessons that Peter learned in his life that you and I can learn in our lives today. And I want to challenge us today in this area of unbelief. We don't want unbelief to be a part of our vocabulary. We don't want unbelief to be a part of our life. No, we want to trust God. We want to believe that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. When it comes to trusting the Lord, we as well can be trusting and trusting and trusting, and it only takes one thing to lead to unbelief. You know, really, we can be building and building and building and building, and then there comes one thing right in our path. And God has proven himself over and over again, 20 years, should the Lord tarry, in June. And we've seen God at Anchor Baptist Church time and time and time and time and time. Time would not even allow me the time to tell you all that God has done in the 20 years, in the 19 and a half years, just that we can rejoice possibly by 3 o'clock today, that we will have made the budget in the general fund is an absolute miracle of God that ought to take your faith and my faith and just cause it to go up. Not our pride, but our faith in who God is and what God is able to do. But you know what can happen? Tomorrow, watch it, tomorrow something can come across your path and my path that can be a spiritual kick in the gut. We can go from faith to unbelief. And it can happen that quickly. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm being realistic, though. Because this is what's happened to me in my life. We can be on a mountaintop one day, and then boom. And we have unbelief that can settle in if we're not careful. But with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, we can leave doubting behind, and we can walk in faith. The Bible says several times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. Those passages of Scripture, if you're taking notes, Romans chapter 1, I'm not going to read them. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11, there's more to the verses, but it says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. And so we pray that in this lesson, God will help our faith to grow and our unbelief to diminish. Let's look at the outline. Number one in the outline, we see the sad situation. The sad situation. What is the situation? Well, the situation is that Jairus has a daughter, and his daughter is near death. His daughter is very ill. The Bible's very clear about in Genesis chapter number 3 that when sin entered into the world, paradise on earth departed. In this lesson, Jairus is facing an unbelievable difficulty. Yes, sin always brings what? Death. It always brings death. It brings spiritual death. It brings physical death. And so the fact that he has a daughter that is ill is really a cause of sin. It's really a cause of the curse of sin that it brings on us at our birth. Now, I believe that Jairus knew there was only one way for his daughter to survive. Possibly Jairus knew that by the time he got to Jesus, you know, when he left his daughter, that possibly she might already even be dead or very near death. And so that's why the emphasis, I believe, is placed there on the fact that he, in verse number 23, where he besought him greatly, and maybe you ought to underline that word, greatly. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you kind of can maybe empathize with Jairus and the anguish of soul that he would have had in him that his daughter was about to die. Letter A, we see the father's plea. The father's plea. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. What does that mean? That means Jairus had an enviable position. That means Jairus probably had a good income. That means Jairus was someone who spoke and people listened. That means Jairus was someone who had his so-called his act together. He wasn't a careless individual. He probably was a man of character. He was more than likely, again, a man of means. He was a man of great responsibility. And yet none of that mattered because his daughter was dying. You know, there are some things that money cannot buy. And in this case, Jairus, while he had everything and he had a pedigree and he had a beautiful resume by his name, he had a problem. He had a problem, and that was his daughter was about to die. And this brought about a very tender heart, and this brought about something in him that he pled to the Lord Jesus Christ to spare his daughter. When he saw the Lord, he, Jairus, a man of power and authority, humbly cast himself at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? In verse number 22, look at the end of verse 22. Jairus by name, when he saw him, when he saw Christ, he fell at his feet. Oh, may God help us to be men and women, teenagers, young people of humility. May God help us to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ more and more every day, seeking bread for the day, seeking His leadership for the day, seeking everything that He has for the day. Let's not go into one day thinking that we're going to have food, thinking that we're going to have shelter. It's just going to happen. No, only by the grace of God do you have health today. Only by the grace of God do you have a roof over your head and do I have clothes on my back. May we go into every day pleading with the Lord for His power and pleading with the Lord for His provision and pleading with the Lord for a peace that passeth all understanding. This is a very intense moment in Jairus' life, but we can learn from that today. We don't have to have someone dying for us to go to the Lord humbly. And I'm not criticizing Jairus. I'm just saying for you and for me, let's have this attitude every day. The Father's plea. He came to Christ with a effectual fervency about him. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I wonder, what do we need to bring to the Lord with a fervency? Would you turn over to the book of Psalm, please? Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. We see number, letter A, the Father's plea. The Father's plea. Notice, though, as we think about this plea, Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are, what's the next word? Open. Well, I tell you what, that's a great word right there. His ears are open. Hey, church, the righteous, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those that are saved, born again, living right. Now, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66, 18, the Lord will not hear me. But when will the Lord hear me? The Lord will hear me when I'm walking in righteousness, when I'm following the ways and the will of the Lord. His ear, verse 15, is open unto their cry. Psalm 145. Quickly turn over to Psalm 145 and verse number 18. Psalm 145 and verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. The Lord is nigh. That means he's close. He's close. You don't have to go searching for the Lord. He's close. He's nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Praise God for the truth of the Word of God. As we call upon him in truth. Verse 19, 145, 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that, what's the next word? Fear him. Fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. We see the Father's plea. We can think of other places in Scripture where people came to the Lord with a fervent petition. You remember Hannah? She came to the Lord with a fervent petition. She wanted a child. She wanted a son. And over she came to the Lord as she was barren, and God granted her request. Remember when David, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and she got pregnant, and he fasted and he prayed, asking the Lord to spare his child. Remember the widow and the unjust judge in the New Testament in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 18, and came to him over and over, and finally the request was granted. And Christ, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, in John's Gospel, his prayer in the garden, John chapter number 17, leading into the Garden of Gethsemane. We read that sometime, the Lord's Prayer in John 17. Well, what happened here on this journey, though, we didn't read it. Notice in verse of our text, the Bible says in verse number 24, that Jesus went with him. Jesus went with Jairus to go to his house, and there were many people following him. And then there is a seemingly unexpected delay. The Bible says here that a certain woman, verse 25, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, had suffered many things with many physicians, I would think like Jairus as well, spent all that she had. Verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And we're not going to go into that whole story, but they're on the way. Get the picture. The Father's plea, right? He comes humbly to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus follows him, or Jesus goes with him to his house. But on the way, there is a delay. I want to just point this out. Delays are rarely expected. Who expects a delay? You know, maybe you're waiting for some mail to come still right now. The mail is a little bit slower in 2020. But I will tell you this, God's delays always have a purpose. God's delays always have a purpose. This delay in Jairus right here on the road leading to his house, I mean, he probably didn't have a watch on, but he's probably thinking, we got to get to my house, we got to get moving. And yet, what did this delay do? This delay would eventually, once again, give Jesus the opportunity to perform another miracle along the way, because he healed this lady as well. And so there's a miracle, but eventually he's going to answer Jairus' request, and it would give Jesus the opportunity to answer in a powerful way by bringing her back from back from the dead. Let's keep moving, though. Then we see letter B, the daughter's plight. The daughter's plight. This delay appeared to be a fatal one because a messenger comes to Jairus along the way and says, "Don't worry, verse 35, it's too late. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore." I want to submit to you that his delays do not mean denial. The delays of God do not necessarily mean denial, meaning it doesn't mean, no, I'm not going to meet the need. I heard this, I don't know when in my life. God is seldom early, never late, always on time. I heard that. I don't know who told me that. But you know what? It is absolutely the truth. I have many times in my life wondered, where is God? And you know what? He's right where he's going to be. He's never late, seldom early. He's always on time. What are you expecting God to do in your life today? Well, just be patient. You do what you're supposed to do. You stay in the will of God. You stay humble. You stay at his feet. You keep pleading with him. And remember, he is seldom early, never late, always on time. The daughter's plight. Jesus was not too late. Jesus had a plan. He always has a plan. Jesus' words in verse 36 strengthened Jairus. Oh, doesn't it strengthen you today to hear that? Let's look at it again. Be not afraid. Can you imagine what must have come over Jairus when he heard the words of the messenger? Your daughter is dead. Jesus knows everything about everything, doesn't he? So he knew, he knows, immediately he knows how Jairus feels. Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He knew the emotional side of things in Jairus' heart. And be not afraid. Only believe. I don't know what comes to mind when you hear those words, but I don't want to add to the Word of God, but this is what I picture. You know, be not afraid. I'm not finished yet. Be not afraid. I have a plan. Be not afraid, my will be done. Only believe. Only believe. In the early 1900s, Charles Tinley pastored a large church in Philadelphia. One of his members came to him and poured out a long list of troubles. Tinley's advice, based on 1 Peter 5:7, to this church member was, put all your troubles, quote, in a sack, take them to the Lord, and leave them there. Does that sound familiar? Out of this conversation came the hymn, Leave It There. If the world from you withhold of its silver and gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, Jairus, be not afraid. Only believe. He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Remember, there were other people that were following along in the path. The Bible says in verse 24 that much people followed him. This wasn't about just Jairus. Here's Jairus in the moment grieving. Jesus says to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. There were other people, though, that were around. Peter, James, and John were there. Others were there. We don't know all the names. It just says others followed him, followed Jesus. So number one, the sad situation. Number two, we see the scornful spectators. This is amazing. This is amazing. Verse number 40, the Bible says, and they laughed him to scorn. Why did they laugh him to scorn? Because in verse 39, Jesus shows up, she's dead, and Jesus says, she's not dead, she is sleeping. The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Letter A is the Lord's assertion. The Lord's assertion. He tells the mourners that the young girl was not dead, but merely sleeping. And I think that the people around him must have thought, who is this man? Who is this? Maybe they didn't know who he was. Maybe they hadn't heard anything. Who is he and why is he saying this? What is he talking about? She's dead. We saw her dead body. There's no life in her. And while we may not be like those that laughed him to scorn, I wonder if we in our life sometimes consider the situation that God allows in our life, and yet we might think something like this: God doesn't understand. Why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this? And remember the statement, be not afraid, only believe. Let's not let circumstances, and it will happen, and it has happened probably in this year. My hand is up. We need to be careful that we don't allow circumstances to undermine our faith in God. Because God is our rock. God is our anchor. God is our great supplier. And may our faith in these days, nothing compared to losing a child who's right now dead, according to this story. We know the end of the story. The Lord's assertion, God's statements may run contrary to human reasoning. She's sleeping. That doesn't make sense. That didn't make sense here. That's why the mockers came on. But we can be confident in the Scriptures. Whatever God's Word says, that is what is going to happen. Whatever God says, that's what's going to happen. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The song says, the psalm says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, Psalm 19. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they, what? God's word than gold, even honey and the honeycomb. The Lord's assertion, let her be. We see the people's derision. The people's derision. Now, this is a very somber time. This is a very difficult time. And yet the people would be scornful and be ridiculing at a time like this is absolutely astounding. Here they are at Jairus' home in Capernaum. The Bible tells us that this was Jesus' own city, Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1. They should have understood that the Lord Jesus wasn't crazy and given him the courtesy and respect to hold their peace, especially during a time of mourning. But I think about this, and before I want to get too ultra critical to them, I want to look at my life. I want to look at what it is that comes into my life, and instead of looking at all that God has done, looking at all of the victories, looking at all of the miracles that God has done, do you have miracles in your life? Do you have miracles in your life? If you're saved, you have a miracle in your life. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. You deserve to go to hell, and I deserve to go to hell. If you're saved, that's miracle number one, that you're saved. And there's more than one in your life. If you would take the time, and we think about those things, but you know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to get us off of what God is doing in our life, and he wants us to get our eyes on ourselves. He wants us to get our eyes on our fellow man. He wants us to get our eyes on circumstances beyond our control and start dwelling on those. And then we soon forget the great victories of the Lord. And we soon forget what God has done in our life. And we begin to be in the same type of attitude, defeated and discouraged. That's no way to live our life. No, we've got to surrender any doubt, surrender any unbelief that you have today. Surrender it to the Lord. Again, as Charles Tintley said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I'm so thankful that we have an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you think about what was running through the mind of Peter and what was running through the mind of the other men as they're observing this and the onlookers are taking all of this in. They have a choice to make. You and I have a choice to make today. You know, every day that you get up and every day that God allows us to get up, we have a choice to make. Are we going to walk by faith or by sight? It's two choices, walk by faith or by sight. We need to walk by faith. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, another miracle of a child being ill. and said with tears, Mark 9:24, I believe. But then you know what he said? Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. The disciples, the apostles themselves in Luke's gospel said to the Lord in Luke 17:5, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You know, I find this to be the case, that when if I'm going to have an increase in faith, my faith's going to have to go through something. It's going to have to be tried. It's going to have to be tried with fire. Something's going to have to be burned off. The unbelief's going to have to be burned off. The doubt and fear are going to have to be burned off. And you know what that's going to take? That's going to take the trying fire of God. Oh, it's not necessarily judgment fire. It's the fire of God to take that faith and put it to the test. And when that faith is tested, as we've heard many, many times, and it goes through a testing, and we come from the other end of that testing, and it's not about us, remember, strong in faith, giving God the glory, but our faith then, as we go through something and make it to the other side, if we have left our burden with the Lord and so forth and so on, then our faith is strengthened. As it comes through that different, I don't know about you in 2020, and we could talk all day long about 2020. But I am seeking greater faith. I don't have the faith that I want. I'm seeking God to increase my faith. But remember, when we ask for increased faith, we're not asking for an easier way. We're asking for a challenge, knowing that God is with us, and we don't have to fear, only believe. We see, number one, a sad situation. Number two, we see the scornful spectators. I don't want to be like those spectators. I want to look at a situation, and while I may not understand it, I know God is in it. I could look at some things in your life, in my life, and I've heard many of you tell me some things about your life, and we've prayed about those things, and challenges have come, and there's more ahead, and that's okay. God is with us in those challenges, and we might not understand them all yet, but we will in the sweet by and by. We will completely understand it all when we're in heaven with the Lord. I don't have to understand it all. I just have to understand this. God loves me. God is good. And God has something in store in every situation that He allows in the life of my family, in my life, in your life, in the life of Anchor Baptist Church. It's for His good, it's for our good, pardon me, and it's for His glory. Then number three, and this is where the rubber always meets the road, the sufficient Savior. The sufficient Savior. To the crowd, Christ was too late. To the crowd, Christ was out of touch with the situation. To the crowd, Christ, this child was dead. Where were you? It seemed impossible. It seemed ludicrous. But do you know that one of God's names revealed in the Old Testament is El Shaddai? In the Hebrew, meaning God Almighty. If you quickly, if you'll go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. And the Bible says in verse number 1, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the, notice, Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That is that Hebrew word, El Shaddai. I am Almighty God, walk before me. This is who was in front of them that day, a dead child, yes, mourning people, yes, grieving parents, yes, wondering about it, spectators, yes, but they were about to find out that Jesus Christ is, was, and always be El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. You don't need anything else. That's why we sang earlier today. He is all we need. Nothing else do you need. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter A, we see Peter's attendance. Peter's attendance. Out of all the disciples, there were only three who witnessed this miracle. Peter, James, and John. We see that in Mark 5:37 that we read earlier. We also see a corresponding passage in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 51. Now, along with Peter and these other disciples, they had responded to the call of Christ. They were obedient. Remember? Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And so now, picture it this way. They're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is not just for Peter, James, and John in the sailboat. This is for you today. This is for me today. When we follow Christ as a disciple, they weren't perfect. We see that in Peter's life. He wasn't perfect. Neither was John, neither was James, neither were any of the disciples. But when we follow Christ as a disciple, who is a disciple is someone, and not just a Christian, but I'm talking about a disciple, someone who isn't concerned about the things of this world. They want to follow God, and this isn't just for the pastor. This is for every believer that has been saved, blood washed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be disciples. And when we are a disciple of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? When we're following Him, we get to witness some amazing things. Boy, don't miss out. Don't miss out. I remember saying this for years, and I'll keep saying it regardless of the situation. Don't miss a church service. Don't miss a church service. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what God's going to do. You never know what, and it's not about the pastor. It's not about whoever's the assistant pastor, if he's preaching or a missionary or an evangelist. That's not what it's about. It's about being a disciple and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And you never know what God has for you. You never know what God has for you on a Wednesday night Bible study. You never know what God has for you on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon. You never know what God has. Don't miss it. Follow Him wholeheartedly. There are blessings abounding waiting for you and waiting for me as we obediently follow the Lord. Now understand, it's a unique situation that we're in 2020. 24 times we met together this year in person. 24 out of 52. That's 28 times we were on live stream only. That's over half by my count. My account could be off. But I believe God met with us 52 times, not 24 times. Not 28 times. I want to encourage you, whether it is I watched it online, and I know it's not the easiest thing, but I want to encourage you, be in your place, be ready, have your Bible ready, have your heart ready, have your family ready, have everything ready, because God is the El Shaddai. He is the Almighty One. He works through mysterious things like this, even in 2020. He is the All-Sufficient One. Time after time, Peter showed a desire to be near Christ. Peter was the disciple to come to Him on the water, remember? Peter was the first to run to the empty tomb. We'll talk about that this afternoon in relation to the resurrection of the Lord. Be a witness to the miracle-working power of God. Peter's attendants, letter A. Letter B, the maids arising. Quickly, the maids arising. Bible says in verse number 42, verse 41, and He took the damsel by the hand, Jesus did, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, that means immediately, she arose. The damsel arose and walked. You know, you think about this, right? Somebody's dead, and they say, okay, get up. You know, typically there's probably going to be kind of a slow getting back into things. But not when, I mean, bad enough if you're alive and you've been laying down for 8 hours or 7 hours or 6 hours. I don't think you spring out of bed too much with a whole lot of life in the morning. And here Jesus says to a dead young lady, get up and walk. And the Bible says immediately she's walking, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. This was an immediate and full healing, if you will. It was instant, and she was fully restored to health. God's word is all powerful. God doesn't do anything halfway. This 12-year-old girl had been raised from dead by the hand of the giver of life Himself. Likewise, when you, a sinner, on your way to hell, dead in trespasses and sins, me, a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, the very moment that I humbly said, God, save me, I'm a sinner, I need the Savior, God, save me, immediately I was made whole. Immediately I had life. Immediately, it was from darkness to light. It wasn't a progression. It was immediate, just like this girl. Immediate healing. And when you got saved, it was immediate. Oh, have you been saved yet? Have you come to the Almighty One, the All-Sufficient One for your salvation? If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd be in heaven? There might be someone listening right now who is not sure of that. You know what? You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to be a church member. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you can have that immediately, even right now. If you'll humbly call on Him, He will in no wise cast you out. And then lastly, let her see. We see the parents' astonishment. The Bible says in verse 42, "And they were astonished with great astonishment." I'm not going to say that that Jairus did not really believe that Christ could perform a miracle here. Have you ever been there in that situation, though, where you prayed for something and prayed for something and prayed for something, and there was maybe a little bit of faith, and God met the need, and you were astonished. You were maybe even surprised. And I'm not being critical, because I've been there, okay? I pray for something and pray for something, but maybe it's not a great faith that I have about it. I'm doing it out of duty, maybe. And I'm not saying this was their situation. I'm just saying, I guess when somebody rises from the dead, you're going to be astonished regardless, right? You know what? God has miracles ready for you and miracles ready for me that are comparable to what we're reading about today. I'm not saying God's going to cause someone to come back from the dead. I'm saying this: Christ has the power today to do whatever it is that He wants to do. I wonder this, though. Do we pray believing? Matthew's Gospel, quickly. Go to Matthew 21. This will be our last passage. Matthew 21. Look at verse 21, 22. "And all things," let's go up to 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive them." I want to encourage you on this last Sunday of the year. Let's pray believing. Let's pray without fear. "Fear thou not, only believe." Believing the Lord's word is a choice. Jairus believed it. The crowd, not so much when he said she was sleeping. Jairus chose, though, to have faith that the Lord could heal his daughter. There may be something in your life right now is seemingly impossible. There might be something in your life right now that's bringing fear. Well, would you hear Jesus' words today and make them personal? "Fear thou not, only believe." Let's go into 2020 trusting and obeying. God will do His will in our life, and it will be for our good and for His glory.